Hey, everybody, welcome back to Ping. This is episode 114. That's right, 114 episodes of Paul and I bringing you the hottest stories that Mike Softies are pinging each other about. That's the sign language for pinging.
Right.
Pinging about every week, and as always, you guys comment, you give us valuable feedback, and we like to start the show mentioning and calling out some of the more outstanding comments in the section. And the first one I want is someone wrote code, so Paul, can you please read that to me, please?
Oh, yeah, the code said, Paul is the most amazing person.
No, it didn't.
Okay. she already didn't believe me.
What does it say?
So Dark Silence said, honestly, that he said that he would follow me on Twitter, but he lives in China where it's blocked, so he can't. Therefore, I should increase my number by one because he would follow me if he could.
Is that really what he said?
That's really what he said.
He's all of that?
And he also said,
no.
Is there any way to comment on here without coming to the site? Like, can you comment through, like, the podcast that you downloaded in Zoom or something?
No, you have to come to the site.
Yeah. So those are the two things. So
he said all that and just those O's and those ones.
Well, yeah, pretty much.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's like another language.
And then Jeff, or Guy Yef, I'm not exactly sure how you pronounce it, said that I am an ultra geek.
Yeah.
Because obviously I can decode all that stuff.
But we knew that.
Excel spreadsheets.
We knew that as soon as we found out you were the treasurer of your table tennis club.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Ping pong, or as the Chinese say, ping pong.
Disappointed with that at all.
Yeah.
And Herb said that he was surprised that Laura is a member of Mensa.
This is true. And I find that surprised reaction is often what I get. And
well,
that's disturbing to me.
But Martin
Do Mine, I not come off as Mensa-esque?
I feel like I should say something smart.
So Martin Mine said, well, of course she is.
Yeah.
And then Herb thought that was hilarious. Like, he added another comment in there just...
Well,
laughing.
Herb is a friend of mine,
yeah.
You know, and I beat him relentlessly on Words by Post.
Yeah.
So if Herb doesn't have my back next time, we don't get to play anymore.
Oh, look at that.
Those are those rules. Throwing down the gauntlet.
And then longtime viewer Chris Stepanyuk, who
yes.
has been missing in action for whatever reason, has finally come back from a long hiatus.
Yes, and he missed us.
He did.
Yeah, so we missed him, Chris. No, only one person commented on Connect Jockey.
Really?
Which I thought was hysterical. This is hysterical.
Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys.
You know, and I recently found out, you know, I play most of my games these days on my phone.
Right.
Fruit Ninja.
Yeah.
Great Xbox Live. Apparently it's a Kinect game as well.
Yeah.
So you can You didn't know.
Yeah,
you never played it.
Not that I have played it, but
right.
I know about things that I don't do.
I don't think so.
Like, I know that you're a member of Mensa, even though I haven't taken the test yet.
And you won't ever.
You don't think so?
No. But I'd love to see you take the test and see...
How about if you beat me at Twitter, then you make me take the Mensa test?
No, I'm much more embarrassing than that.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I want people to comment on... Let's think up some really creative game titles for Xbox, such as the Jockey.
Uh-huh.
And the Ninja, where we can get our human being friends to do the most ridiculous physical gestures possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be cool. And maybe then you can have them go into, like, Microsoft Studios where they're going to pretend like they're filming this, and then they're really on a prank show. Wouldn't that be fantastic?
We could do that.
That would be brilliant.
Let's start the show.
Okay.
Mamas, don't let your babies grow up be cowboys.
We've been talking a lot recently about the new update coming to Windows Phone, codename Mango. It's probably not really a code name anymore. It's just
probably just delicious.
Just a name. It is delicious, and there's a lot of good morsels of yumminess that are included in the Mango update.
Yes.
And one of them specifically for Xbox Live games played on your Windows Phone, and also Xbox Live games played on any platform.
Right.
So not just phones, but specifically with this Mango update.
Right.
And it's called Fast Async.
Yes, Fast Async.
Now, do you know what that means, Paul?
I do know what that means, Laurie. Would you like me to break it down so that the viewers understand
like you
and I do?
I mean, just so
like
they understand. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I could do it, but I'll let you.
Okay. Yeah. So this new thing called Fast Async is meant for games where people are playing with others and they're taking turns or they're doing some type of matchmaking. So So this is really good, as they said, for Scrabble knockoff, so that really got my attention.
Me too, because I thought it was going to help Words by Post,
sure.
But that's not an Xbox Live title.
Right, yeah. So what Fast Async does is it allows a game developer to implement this new API of sorts where they can say, okay, this person is done, now let's post that to some centralized server, mm-hmm. then have something else listening to the new updates that are coming from that server. So they call it Fast Async because it actually works a lot faster and more reliably than the existing notification mechanisms.
That's why they
exist.
Called it Fast Async,
right.
Because it's faster.
Right.
Thanks for really shedding some light on that, Paul, because yeah. I wasn't sure.
Now, the interesting things about this are what Laura just said, where this is actually only available to the Xbox Live games. So,
right.
So the games for Xbox Live on the Windows Phone, I believe it's like a $2.99 minimum to buy the game, but you also can have...
No, I think there's cheaper games than that.
I'm not sure if there is.
Yeah, some of the games chest games and like the poker games, I'm pretty sure they'd come cheaper than $2.99.
Uh-huh.
But don't quote me.
Okay. Yeah,
okay.
I
any of the hotter, the newer, the bigger titles, you know, like... Elo Milo or Cro-Mag Rally, some of these titles, they're going to be a little bit more money.
Yeah, but from my understanding, the Xbox Live titles that are on Windows Phone, like I think that they wanted to have a bit of a premium and they wanted mm-hmm. to have a much stronger, smoother experience for those types of games so that when people buy an Xbox Live title for their phone, they get all of these extra things.
Right, so not just achievements and leaderboards, but all of these other sort of bonuses.
Right, and so the cool thing is that Xbox Live titles on your phone will be able to use this as well as other platform games. So like if you're a developer that's building for the actual Xbox itself, mm-hmm. you'll also be able to take advantage of this Fast Async.
And that's the thing too, it doesn't just automatically update all your current Xbox Live games once you get the Mango update. It has to be implemented by the developer.
Right.
So this is
reaching out to you guys as Niners.
You guys as developers and yeah. start building games using Fast Async to make my life
right.
better.
Yeah. I would love for Laura to be able to see when I play my bingo in near real time. That would be fantastic.
We got to get a Scrabble game on Xbox Live.
Yeah, next.
You know, Paul, I like to stay on top of the app world,
oh,
the
okay.
application world.
I was wondering
world.
How you're going to finish that sentence.
Yeah. Many things I like to stay on top of, but primarily for this discussion, applications.
Oh, okay.
And I've kind of been focused on Windows Phone applications,
yep.
but still, I dabble elsewhere, all
really?
Applications
little,
in general.
Little dabbling?
Yeah, you know, I like to keep, don't put all my eggs in one basket.
Okay.
So, in pretty exciting news, Steven Sinofsky, head of Windows, and you know, obviously the team building Windows 8, posted a blog, I guess sort of hinting that we were going to have a Windows 8 app store.
Yeah, so a few things to get you guys all up to the same speed that we are. So Sinofsky started a new blog. It's called Building Windows 8.
Correct.
So this is like an engineering blog where Sinofsky and other significant contributors to Windows and leaders in Windows can talk about the hard trade-offs that the engineering team needs to do and go into deep technical depth. So this has been a huge buzz in the technical community. In the first post that he talks about introducing the team, mm-hmm. he talked about like kind of how the organization is structured, how many different teams there are, how many developers there are on each of the individual teams. One of the teams was called the App Store team. So this kind of confirmed rumors that have been going out for about a year that there was going to be an App Store or a marketplace for mm-hmm. apps for Windows 8. So this is kind of interesting that I don't know if this was like a slip or if there were like other things that had kind of led up to this and if it was like a deliberate move by
probably
Sinofsky.
I mean, I would think, you know, we've got our big conference next month called Build down in Anaheim, you know, all about Windows 8. So I would think that this is sort of a little bit of a nugget to get us excited and keep that buzz going so everyone's really attending, registering for, talking about, you know, going to Build, which of course I will be at.
Oh, that's nice. Are you going to be wearing that dress from last
I time? Haven't heard back from them.
Okay.
You know, it might have gone, they probably wrote back. It probably went to my junk mail.
Probably.
But
you get a lot of mail.
I do. But I will keep us posted on that. And who knows? You never know. There could be hot apps. The Windows 8 version.
Oh my
gosh. Coming your way fall 2012.
That would be pretty cool. One other thing about this is that they also created a Twitter account called Build Windows 8, and they already have 10,000 followers. So I think we need to.
You know what happened yesterday. I got someone following me named Nicole Kidman.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And then I went to see, like, what kind of thing she was talking about. Like, oh, Keith Urban looks so hot today. But she didn't really speak English. There's Nicole Kidman that follows me.
Oh, yeah. This is some type of celebrity, and you're mentioning another celebrity who I don't know. I got it. Cool.
We can just talk about Sanofsky.
Congrats.
All right, Paul, so the headline reads,
headline.
Microsoft's decision engine more likely to lead users to a web page than searches through rival Google.
Actually, the headline reads, Bing beats Google on search
effectiveness. But then the byline,
yeah.
But my headline for this story, this is, you know,
yeah.
Try to keep up.
Yeah, so.
I thought I could give them a little bit more detail.
Yeah, you got to start with the headline, then go to the byline, because if you, this isn't like Memento here. It's not like we're starting at the end
right,
and
going
and
back backwards.
To the beginning. but yeah, so Bing has, according to Experian Hitwise, which is one of the web analytics research firms, they have said that the Bing success rate for searches is 80%, whereas the success rate for Google
right.
is around 67%.
Right, and that's actually searches powered by Bing, so Yahoo Search would be
sure.
included in that success
sure.
rate.
Sure. Now, I thought this was like very surprising and very good data for Microsoft, and when you look at what a success means, it means that someone has their intent of the search, so they put in a search into the like Bing or Google,
mm-hmm.
and then they actually click on a link. So that's what they consider success.
I wouldn't consider that a success because frequently I'll click on a link and it's the wrong link.
Okay.
But I'll always click on something just to explore. Who knows what you may find.
Well,
if I knew exactly what page or site I was looking for, I would just put that directly into the address bar.
Yeah, so I think that there are different ways that you can measure success. So in this particular metric, it looks like Bing shows people results that they want to click on more so than people when they search
so
in Google.
So before they type in a new query, they'll click on one of the links that come
right.
up from the first
right.
query.
Right, and then failure would be like they type something in and then they don't click on anything and then they type something in.
I think this is great, and I've gotten to really learn and love the Bing search engine, where for a while, I have to admit, I was using other search engines. But there's certain things about Bing that I definitely think are above and beyond, like the travel section and shopping section.
Two of the things that you just do all the time.
Correct. Correct.
Just constant travel and shopping. And
correct.
And the life of
and
Laura
they usually
Poore.
Overlap. I shop when I travel.
Yeah, it's like...
And then I Bing search where to shop and travel next to, and to get the lowest fares.
That's awesome.
On our price predictor.
That's nice. I think for some of this data, Experian also released the plurality of searches, which is where there are more than just a single word
mm-hmm.
that's put into a search query. So I wonder if the people that are using Bing are actually like putting in more specific search queries than like maybe in Google.
Maybe. I mean, so. There's probably a study by a fake company right now that shows Bing searchers are smarter
right.
than Google searchers.
Yeah, I think Laura Poore Research is currently wrapping that up.
That's right. You know what I think the problem is, and I've noticed this with some of my friends, people just don't know how to search for the right thing.
Oh, really?
You know, like I the other day I was watching Celebrity Rehab, and my friend who was watching it with me was like, oh, what band was that guy in? And she must have put in, like, three different searches to try to figure out what band the guy was. You know, she put in, like, the band's name. Oh, it's not Motley Crue. Oh, it's not Guns. Like, you know, she's just backwards searching.
Yeah.
And so, like, I, the expertise searcher that I am, I just put in Celebrity Rehab cast, clicked on his bio, and there the information was. I think people just don't know how to get, they don't know how to get what they want.
See, I think maybe you can have this as one of your Xbox Live shows where you can be like, hot searches. You
hot
give me
searches.
3 minutes, I'll show you how to search.
I will find you that information.
That's right.
I have friends that call me because they can't figure out things on the internet. You know what I mean? Like how to find things, where can I go to get this? I'm good at it.
My mind is blown for a number of reasons. One
yes.
is that you are able to search better than some people, and two, that there are friends of yours that look to you for that advice.
Work at Microsoft. And I'm Mensa.
Right.
So it all works.
MensaSoft.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Laura, you know how we talk about hot hacks?
Hot hacks!
All the time. Not hot hex, not like hexadecimal things, but hacks, H-A-C-K-S.
I usually just save my hexadecimal conversations for, like, out at the bar.
Yeah, that's probably pretty good.
That's when I talk about that sort of thing.
That's definitely more condensed than binary, but I don't know if the compression ratio is nearly the same when you...
Well, we'll talk about it later over, like, you know, Cosmopolitan.
Sure, yeah, that sounds great. So anyway, there's a new hack out there of sorts where Microsoft Research has partnered with 3 or 4 different universities around the world to do real-time 3D modeling.
Yes, and it looks incredible.
Yeah, I'm
pretty... It looks incredible.
Pretty surprised at how well, when they take a Kinect device, attach it to a laptop that's, like, reading the data, and they kind of, like, point it around the room, it uses the depth sensor and, like, the photo information and actually reproduces, like, a 3D scene. It's like they're painting the whole scene just by
moving the
device.
Yeah, and they can do the whole room, add and remove objects, not just, like... the one person standing in front of the sensor, like you think of when playing a game. I mean, this is everything in its sight. So I think what they need to do is take this technology, with the technology we talked about, I think, last week, where they use the Kinect sensor to create, like, photorealistic 3D, like, mapping.
Uh-huh, and, of faces.
Of faces.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, you and I, well, probably just me and some of you guys out there, will be creating our own Avatar,
yeah,
the movie, not the right. the Xbox
yeah,
Live characters.
I mean, if they go like this, you'll look like a big blue monster. That sounds,
exactly
sounds about right.
We'll
be
creating
three
our own,
times the size
like,
you are
real,
right now.
Real, amazing, 3D CGI movies.
Yeah, I think some of the interesting things that they also showed in this were not only could you map out the 3D scene, they also like understood gestures, like where if it would map out a scene and then you put your hand against this, you could write on the wall, like it would leave a streak where your finger had pointed. So at first I was like, I'm not exactly sure how this is going to be used. It looks kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then it looks like Engadget out there had said that when they asked Microsoft about this, they were thinking that this could augment Kinect gameplay.
Where, like, I think it's going to do more than that.
I think it could.
I think this is going to have some real-life uses. I mean, obviously, the gaming aspect is fun and great and cool for us, but I definitely see this being used in movies, and hopefully, you know, somebody out there is going to turn it into some sort of healthcare use or, like, you know...
Or, like, really, really expensive Roomba.
Yes, exactly. One of the other cool things was it did a demo where it sort of threw thousands of paintballs into the room, and, you know, the physics engine or whatever, it knew when it would sit on a surface or when it would roll off a surface, and so the paintballs were, like, interacting with these digital surfaces. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
So I...
And we showed off at SIGGRAPH. There's a video.
Yeah, so SIGGRAPH is the conference that happened in Vancouver a couple weeks ago, and I guess this project had been, like, under wraps for many, many months, and there are some people had known about it, but they couldn't blog anything about it. Now it was debuted out there in Vancouver. So
yeah, I can't go to Vancouver.
Oh, really?
A felony.
Oh, got it. That makes sense.
Don't talk about it. All right, everybody, that's it. That's all we have for you this week. Hopefully you got some entertainment and some information, and hopefully you will remember to follow me at Elfoy, because I am close to meeting my mark.
372 new followers, 128 shy of your 500.
Yeah.
I have 72 followers.
Okay.
300 shy of Laura.
So I am this close to winning.
But the nice thing is that our growth rate over the last week has finally equaled out where we both got around 20 new followers.
Right,
so
but I haven't been
so
campaigning.
I
haven't been campaigning.
My growth rate is just going to be skyrocketing because it was low, 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 and now I'm hitting the exponential curve.
I'm really scared.
Yeah.
I'm pretty scared.
You should be shaking in your boots right
scared,
now
but
because
let's get,
everyone's going to follow
let's
me
Let's get
on,
this competition tied up so before the harsh weather comes, because once I have decided, you know, what sort of bare-chested activity he'll be doing, I don't want it to be snowing. Like, I'm not mean. You know,
I've already done a gorilla chested
nice,
activity. There's
nice
gonna be no bear chested.
That wasn't me, dude. It wasn't me.
Right.
Anyway, so that's it. Follow me at Elfoy, and we will see you next week.
Do it.
Got it.